The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Okay, I gotta turn. Is this on? It is on. Good evening, everyone. If I can have your attention for what I promise will be a very brief set of interruptions for this evening's festivities. My name is David Hunter. I'm the current director of the International Legal Studies Program, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome all of you here for the 30th anniversary of the International Legal Studies Program, the reunion and conference that will be going on for the next few days. We're very excited to be greeting all of you back to the law school, and I think you'll find that the law school remains an incredibly dynamic place and that the program that you participated in, however many years ago it was, or whether you're participating in it today, continues to be one of the most dynamic and exciting places to study international law on the planet. I'm going to welcome you in my capacity later, not tonight. I'll get plenty of chances to welcome you, I think, over the next few days. But right now I want to do some introductions and have some other people welcome you. It's one of our goals for this reunion was to get us out of our building, even though we love our building, and to see part of D.C. again. And I'm very excited to be able to come down to this wonderful building in this wonderful part of the city and to be hosted here at the Law Library of Congress. It's a relationship that we honor and respect and get a lot out of. And we're very fortunate and happy and pleased that we were able to be hosted down here by the Law Library of Congress. And in that respect, I want to invite David Mao, who is the Law Librarian of Congress, the 23rd Law Librarian of Congress, to say a few words and welcome you to the building, the Madison Building. David?
Thank you so much and good evening. As David mentioned, my name is David Mao and I am the Law Librarian of Congress. And so I'm very delighted to welcome all of you here to Madison Hall at the Library of Congress to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the International Legal Studies Program and also to celebrate the launch of the special edition of the Global Network magazine. I just want to give you a little bit of history. The Law Library of Congress was established as a separate department within the bigger Library of Congress in 1832 by Act of Congress. And one of our missions, or some of our missions, include providing legal information and legal resources to the United States Congress, the federal judiciary, and the executive branch of the United States, and as well as providing legal information to the general public. Over the last 180 years, we have grown to be the largest law library in the world. We have the world's most comprehensive and complete collection of global legal information. And we use that collection to service our clients. As I'd mentioned, some of our missions include providing service to the United States Congress. But we are able to provide our services not only through our vast collection, which, by the way, numbers about 2.8 million volumes as of today's count, but also through, yes, that's quite a few books, right? So, but also through our staff, the services and the expertise of our staff. Over the years, the Library of Congress has had been the beneficiary of having a very close relationship with the International Legal Studies Program. Many of our current and former staff and interns, hopefully our future interns as well and staff as well, are alumni of the program. In fact, there are quite a few of you out here, and if you could raise your hands if you're either a part of the program right now at the Library of Congress or were, that'd be great. You can see and talk to any of them about the Library of Congress. But because of that, we have been very, very delighted to work with the International Legal Studies Program. In fact, I think it's fair to say that with all the collaborations we have with law schools around the United States, the collaboration we have with the Washington College of Law is by far the most successful in of all of our programs. And so we're very, very delighted to be able to be a part of this program today to host you. I mean, as part of the celebration, we've prepared a special exhibit for you. If you go out the outside of the hall to the left and around the corner in room 139, we've prepared a rare book display from the We've chosen a few treasures from the 60,000 or so volumes in our rare book collection at the Law Library of Congress, and we'd be happy to share them with you. The only thing to remember is no food or drinks over there, please. So if there's a table outside the room, if you could leave your food and drinks there, I'd appreciate it. And you can feel free to take a look and then come back and enjoy some more food. So again, congratulations to the program, and we look forward to working with ILSP for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, David, and the feeling is very mutual about the important partnership. We were talking before about how we really share a similar mission, ILSP and the Law Library of Congress, in promoting law around the world and the study and scholarship of law, and we look forward to looking at the exhibit around. And I should also mention that on Friday, for those who are interested, we're going to be running tours here. We couldn't do it after hours, but it's very interesting to come back and see the Law Library, so you can sign up for that. At this point, I want to invite for a more formal, or maybe not more formal welcome, but a higher level welcome to the program from Dean Claudio Grossman. All of you know the dean. You may know him as the director of ILSP during your time, but he really is not only the dean, but the guiding light of the International Legal Studies program. So, Dean Grossman.
Well, it's so exciting to see all of you here. I remember, or perhaps I don't want to remember, so far away, when we started the program, we saw a need for the specialized knowledge in international law. And we had a tremendous ambition to create one of the top programs in the world and the planetary system and develop areas of expectation, and our ambition went far beyond what we had to offer them. First of all, we started the program with a director who didn't speak English. I mean, so and continues to suffer from problems in interacting with that language. And then, second thing, everyone around the world knew like two or three universities in the United States. Well, but we had a belief in that we could do this, and that there was a tremendous need, because there is hardly an issue that can be solved by a country alone. You know the case for international law, even the most powerful country. And in the world, whether we're talking of trade, intellectual property, peace and security, human rights, we have not developed yet the institutions and procedures that channelize the aspirations of human beings through the proper institutions, achieving progress for everyone and with the legitimacy that the law gives to decision making based on law and not on political opportunity or obscure bureaucratic decisions or military power. Well, so we imagine that program. And it is something emotionally very important to us to see what was the result of this. Over 3,500 graduates all over the world. Rankings and recognition of the program. You see, I belong to the dean's very important tradition that we mention rankings only when they are convenient. I mean, they're better. But again, a program that we started with a big heart and short means is the program not in the top 10, top 5, 6 in the United States, tied up with Yale University. Big honor for them because we're much better. A program that when there is a ranking, the most authoritative international ranking, SQ, of 500 law schools and universities in the world, we are number 46 in the ranking of top 5. And again, there are other schools that do not appear even in the list of 500. And I can go on and on. The offering of 40, 50 courses in international law per semester. At that time, we had difficulties in filling one page of courses offering this program. So, there was imagination and a commitment. There are other things I want to tell you. I remember once a student came to me and said, I don't know whether I can study here because I don't have enough English. And I said, well, I don't have either. I'm the director of the course. Well, and you know, some years ago, he came to my office and said, my secretary said, somebody wants to talk with you and so forth. So he came to my office and said, I am the Minister of Justice of Indonesia, and the guy who couldn't talk English. And I came to this program, and you guys told me that everyone was entitled to a passport, and I secured that 200,000 people will have passport that otherwise wouldn't have a passport in the country. And I thought that justified the development of the program. But you have engaging stories to tell, all of you, in business, in intellectual property, in human rights, as trial advocates, producing wealth among nations. And, I mean, all of you have achieved important things. And this is due, first of all, to yourselves. That's the key thing. But I hope that you will see in what the Washington College of Law created something that added value to your aspirations, that created a vehicle to promote your plans, and was a time well invested. I hope also that during your time here, you continue to develop a sense of community. I would like to say we always reduce everything to utilitarian reasons. Why is it convenient to talk? Well, if I would be a lawyer looking for business, I will be distributing cards and talking. Imagine the competitive advantage of being able to pick up the phone and organize something in Germany or in Indonesia or in Panama or in the U.S., Chile. So there is something tremendous in terms of what program has achieved. But I hope that we will continue to develop and discard something that goes beyond what is convenience. Okay? I think that many of us discard our common basic humanity also in this unique program where you have people from all over the world. And in the beginning, usually what we all do is to say, oh, back home we do this, back home we do that, and so forth and so on. And to a certain extent, we retrench and see what is typical of everyone. But with the passage of time, we discard the common humanity of everyone. And I think, again, it's very difficult to change the world, and certainly it would need a lot of change. But I think the fact that we create a community among ourselves of people that speak different languages, come from different traditions, and have something important and exciting to share is a good step to achieve important goals. And again, beyond convenience, I think all of us have been touched for this program. I want to thank David Hunter and his really important team of people for what they have done for this program. They have carried they have carried this program to new heights, developments in the area of environmental law, language, education, the richness of the curricular offer, constantly lobbying for the program, ensuring that what happens in many law schools in this country and abroad, that international law is in the margins and not in the core, would not happen here. And it really has been tremendous. So, this program is in very able hands. More than anything, however, the future of this program depends on all of you. Your continuous engagement with the law school, your ability to get connected is essential for its future. So I hope also that this event here will solidify that. I'm going to stop now to say I have so many things, I recognize so many of you, and really it's exciting to see all of you here, and I look forward to the next couple of days of many conversations with everyone. Thank you again for the invitation and congratulations. Thank you.
We have one more speaker, and that's Gina Evers, who many of you will have communicated to about this evening. Gina is our current alumni coordinator, and she has put her heart and soul into the next two or three days for the last year, and I think it's really going to show off, and I want to thank her for that. And I will again, and another time as well. And you'll hear me thank. And I want all of you to thank her as well. But I also want to say that she puts her heart and soul as well into the Global Network magazine. And she wants to say a few words this evening about the 30th anniversary edition. And I don't know what she wants to say about it, but what I want to say is that Dean Grossman mentioned that each of us have our stories as well about the program. And this is a great publication that, as you leaf through it, one story from one alumni of each year, it really does reflect the breadth, diversity, and impact of the program over the 30 years. So I'm really thankful that Gina had the idea of doing this and that she was able to bring it together. Gina?
So thank you all for being here. I'm quite content to be the next person in line waiting to officially welcome you to the International Legal Studies Program's 30th Anniversary Conference and Alumni Reunion. For me, the alumni coordinator who has only communicated with you via email, it's especially gratifying to welcome you back to Washington for this exciting celebration. Email and all of our wonderful telecommunication devices simply are not the same as speaking with you here, tonight, face-to-face. So thank you for being here. In addition to welcoming you, I want to take this opportunity to reintroduce you to this magazine, The Global Network. Since I began editing this magazine 4 years ago, I've worked to ensure that it not only showcases our diverse and interconnected network of ILSP alumni, but that it also serves as a forum for continuing dialogue on trending legal issues in the international arena. This special 30th anniversary edition of Global Network does both of those things. It showcases the diverse and interconnected global network of ILSP alumni, one alumna or alumnus for each of ILSP's 30 years. But when you read the experiences of each person featured in this magazine side by side, you gain an understanding of how the ILSP experience, your experience, transcends the years, the continents, and the languages. So I said I wanted to reintroduce you to this magazine, but really what I mean by that is I want to reintroduce you to each other. Lucy Kagwanja, who's featured for 2003 in the magazine, is building roads in East Africa, not with cement and bulldozers, but with the negotiation skills she learned in the International Legal Studies program. Professor Bradlow helped her with those skills, helped her develop them so that she was able to secure a loan with the World Bank to fund the project. Ruxandra Burdescu, who's the 2002 feature, is working from inside the World Bank, ensuring the institution's policies are transparent and just, and that the institution's resources are open and accessible. As the CEO of Fablefin, the Belgian Financial Sector Federation, Michelle Vermarke, who's featured for 1985, works daily to impact the future of the European economy. And Julianne Cocotte, 1983, as the German Advocate General for the Court of Justice of the European Union, is working to positively shape the justice system in Europe and European integration. In Korea, Byung-sik Jung, 2006, is negotiating free trade agreements from within the Ministry of Strategy and Finance. Ricardo Ramirez, 1994, is one of the seven appellate body members at the WTO, solving trade-related legal questions that impact the future of development on a global scale. Sumantu Basu, 1993, is working on oil and gas investments in India. Agustin Echeverry, 1998, and his business partner, Juan Carlos Blanco, 1999, represent oil and gas companies and agribusiness clients that are impacting the economy and development of Uruguay. Gustavo Alanis Ortega, 1992, is championing the environment, improving and enforcing Mexico's compliance with environmental laws. And let's not forget the human rights advocates among us. Jean Yovi Degli, 2007, served as the defense attorney at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. Tamar Murag, 1988, is defending the rights of the child in Israel. Claudia Martin, 1999, and Diego Rodriguez Pinzon, 1994, are educating future generations of human rights lawyers back at American University, Washington College of Law. So you see, when you look at these experiences, your experiences, together, side by side, in this magazine, you see the dialogue that begins to emerge. You see how all of your experiences intersect and overlap, all working to make a difference in this world. For me, as an American, this idea, I want to change the world, is one that I've grown up with. It's something that I would consider idealistic. It might even seem naive or cliche, something wrapped up in the conception of the American dream. To me, changing the world seems unattainable, near impossible, or at least very, very hard. But through my work on this special edition of the Global Network, I have seen you do this. You, the alumni of the International Legal Studies Program, change the world through the work that you do every day. And I want to pause for a moment in my speech to tell you a secret. And that is, ILSP is not the only one turning 30 this year. Next month, I too will be celebrating a 30th birthday. And I bring this up because as I've been working on this magazine, studying everything you have accomplished in my lifetime, I couldn't help but draw the parallel between the world that I know, the world that I live in, and the world that you collectively have been creating over the past 30 years. As ILSP director and professor David Hunter put it in his introduction to this issue of the magazine, 30 years is a long time. The year we began, the Law of the Sea Convention entered into force. The Soviet Union still controlled much of Eastern Europe and Central Asia, and Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. ILSP was founded a decade before the first Earth Summit was held or the World Trade Organization was created. The world economy was not yet globalized, media was not yet social, and mail was not yet email. So what you have accomplished in the past 30 years has shaped my experience in this world. And for that, I am grateful to you, not as the alumni coordinator and magazine editor who has the pleasure of working with such an inspiring group of people, but as a human who has recognized the incredible significance and global impact of what you do on my life. I hope as you read through this issue of the magazine, you will feel as inspired as I have throughout its creation. And I use that word, inspired, intentionally. It's not an overstatement. I think the word inspired actually describes the alumni who are profiled, and it describes the work that you do. So with my gratitude, I invite you to truly celebrate your accomplishments this evening and throughout the remainder of this week, along with accomplishments of the International Legal Studies Program. 30 years is a long time, and we all should be proud of the work that we have accomplished in these past three decades. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. That was lovely. And Gina and ILSP are not the only things turning 30 this year. No, just kidding. I want to take a few more minutes just so that I can stand before Mr. Madison for one more time. I want to say thank you to a few people that I would be remiss not to say thank you to. You can see already from Gina what a great team we have at ILSP, and because some of you graduated before the team was here, I just want to have them wave their hand. You'll see them over the next few days, but they're here to be able to answer your questions and other things. Although Gina's been the team leader in doing this, we do everything as a team at ILSP, and they all deserve our thanks for this next couple of days. So as I see them, Kathy Schenker, who is the academic advisor and assistant dean. Christina Den, who is the assistant to the director. Wave your hand. Melania Radnovic, who runs the Humphrey Fellows and International Visiting Scholars Program. I don't see John Wischmeyer, but I know he's here back there. John is our resource coordinator. Bill Cherma, who runs our applications process. I don't think Adriana Vito is here this evening, but she does our career counseling and advising. And Tessa, can you raise your hand? Our Dean's Fellow who's helping us and is a current student here as well. Finally, I want to thank again the Law Library of Congress and David Mao for hosting us this evening, invite you again for visiting to visit the room around the corner. And my final thanks is also to the Pence Law Library. This evening's reception is co-sponsored by the Pence Law Library, the library at the law school, and they're really the ones that work closely with the law library, and we're very lucky to have and fortunate to have the kind of library that we have at the law school. And the librarians. Dean Kaufman couldn't be here tonight because she's flying back from China, but she will be with us tomorrow. So with that, please continue to participate in the festivities and enjoy the evening. Thank you very much.